Okay, it is 8 o'clock.
And all is well.
Okay. And
somebody's going through the
We want to convene the Metro Marietta Community Services District Improvements Committee meeting to order. And actually, before item number two, Amelia, so that we have everything in line, did you make, is Randy on the line?
Yes, can I let everybody know who I've got on the line?
Yes.
I have Jeff, Les Clark and Paul, Linda, Gail, Mark Martin, Randy, Tom Henning, John Merchant, and John Q. Public, and Lori. And then this phone number must be John Sullivan. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thank you, Amelia.
If you're going to have background noise, will you mute yourselves?
Okay, good. That sounds like it got taken care of. Okay, comments for item number two, comments from the public. Again, this is an item for a discussion of items, bringing up items that are not on the agenda. So public may comment on any of the items, subsequent items that are on the agenda, but this is for items not on the agenda. So a call for comments from the public. Okay, hearing none, and if we've not allowed enough time for that, you can always chime in or raise your hand. Okay, item number three, review monthly updates. Paul?
Good morning. Good morning, committee members and the public. This is Paul Stevenson, Director of Field Operations. I'm giving a brief update on the monthly development and projects. And in the packet, we've updated some information to show where the various development projects that are occurring throughout the community are. And Amelia's scrolling through the packet right there to show a diagram that Coastland Engineering had put together for us to show those various development areas. So that's excellent. We're very happy they did that for us. And then further to that, with my monthly project updates,
this is last just a comment for you and Lori. While Lakeview is shown on the overall map, Lakeview vesting tentative map is missing from the detailed information. So you want to add that?
Yes, thank you.
And then also on Residence East, the link was shared for the recent planning application for the proposed four lot change from the current vesting tentative map, but there's also a link for Residence East vesting tentative map for 99 lots that's still active.
Okay.
So I'll provide Lori, you and Lori, that information as well. Right.
Thank you, Les.
Thank you. So continuing on with project updates at the Retreats East and North project, there's no update on any activities with that project. I won't go through the descriptions unless you want me to.
I would think not.
Mm-hmm. Yep, anybody can go through it and on their leisure. The Rancho North development project, we have no new update on that. The project link shows that it's still pending with Sacramento County and therefore on hold with the district. At the Murrieta Gardens project, it's, as I conveyed in the packet, it was subdivided into multiple projects. So on the Murrieta Gardens Highway 16 offsite improvements, there's no update with that currently. On the Murrieta Gardens Lot 4 and 5, just some minor work has occurred there, which was some oversight and review of irrigation installations at lot 5.
Hey, Paul, John.
Yes, sir.
Construction on 4 is well underway. Slab was poured on 4 Monday. And on 5, all the curving and drive-through work is done, and they're about ready to rock and compact the parking lot. And we're waiting on change order number one for with the county for a building modification. But this just says lot five, so four and five are under construction.
Yes, yes, they are both under construction. What I comment on in the packets is anything that's under our purview. I don't comment on like streets or gutters or lighting or anything that's not under our jurisdiction.
Okay, and then and for those, an interpretation for those not familiar with construction terms, John's comment about ready to rock does not include a party. It includes base rock.
Thanks, Les.
Okay, Paul.
I'm not complete.
Continuing on with Murrieta Marketplace. So the project issued a punch list request, and that's being worked through with Coastland Engineering. So they're going back and forth on some concerns of note in regards to that for final, working towards final acceptance of that project. Going on to lot 10, a final set of plans have been made available with signatures pending fees paid to the district. On lot 11, which is the potential future gas station car wash, Coastland has provided submittal plan checks back for comment, but has yet to hear back on those plan check comments. On the Murrieta Gardens 1 infrastructure, developer's engineer has requested an acceptance of items to be maintained in the future by the district, noting that the only area left for completion is the eastern end of the drive aisle, which is in an area known as Lot 14 on the plans. And Coastland responded with a letter of items that would be needed before final acceptance. On the Murrieta Garden 2 improvement plans, that project's been accepted by the district, and that's where the 78 home lots are being built. And other projects that are not in the Murrieta Gardens are the FAA Business Park, and work is continuing on that site. That's the project at the end of Cantova Way. And oversight included installation of a fire system line and project tie-ins into our water system, which was overseen by Coastland's inspection team. And the Riverview project, so they report that they're continuing to work on their completion of the phase two final map, which will include 30 residential lots. And then on the Murrieta Hills, we haven't heard any active work being done as it relates to the district, and we haven't received a deposit on that project to actively pursue it at this point. And the residents of Murrieta Hills West, that project's not active as far as we know. I've not seen any movement on that project. Any question on development projects before I move on to district projects?
Paul, this is a pretty well done, concise description of where we're at. Can we make this public? Can we link this somehow to the website or something? I think there's a lot of people that would really be interested in just seeing what you just showed us.
Yeah, I believe we could absolutely do that. That was something we've discussed with creating a development section of the website. So that's functional for anybody that's building a home or developing in the community, that we have our documents available there at a click of a button, as well as for community members who want to know what's going on in their portion of the community and what potential development projects are bordering or neighboring them. So yes, absolutely, we can work towards that.
Mark, do you see a problem with us doing that? If there's, I guess the only question would be is if there's something that's misleading in here, which I don't see, but
Not at all. This has been part of the request of our communications committee, a standing request for a while to provide this. So this was our response to that request. And so the intent is to publish this on our website.
Great.
So great. It's fine.
And this is Les Clark again. What we'd want to do is make sure it's up to date, including the items that I talked about previously about the Lakeview mm-hmm. and the appropriate links to planning documents, and make sure that those are current and up to date. So publishing it carries along with it the responsibility to make sure it's relatively up to date, but with a disclaimer that says, you know, it's only updated like once a month or once a quarter or something like that, so that everyone understands that there might be a minor discrepancy in it somewhere.
Yep, just like I did at the beginning of this packet, I right. tried to convey that this is, to the best of my knowledge, as of this date, and so we can endeavor to do that and post on. This has been updated as of this date. Absolutely.
Are you gonna put anything in there as to the church remodel?
I'm not aware of any project at the church at this point. But if there's an active project with us, we can put it up there.
Okay, Paul. Right. Moving on then to district planning or district projects.
Yes, so at the water plant, number one, the three effluent pumps that we send out, we order new pumps. They finally arrived. The contractor's been putting them in. As of today, they're all in. We just need to, and the, you know, they've tested rotation. We just need to run some water through the facility, which we're in the process of starting up. And we're going to be running that water to waste for a while to test those pumps to make sure that they're operating correctly. So that's good news. So before our summer demands hit, we got those in and installed and seemingly ready to go. So that's great. On the water rights renewal, there's no update on that project as of yet. I have to provide information back to our consultant to continue working on that, on the recycled water, on treated water fee study. That's going to be discussed in the finance committee meeting. On the chlorine gas to sodium.
Paul,
yes, sir.
On the recycled, because I'm not going to be able to comment at the finance committee, on the recycled water, untreated water fee study, mm-hmm. is there any need for an outreach or information efforts for the potentially affected ratepayers? And it's just a question that is posed, doesn't need an answer right now, just a question to be considered by, you know, during subsequent discussions of that item.
No, yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely applicable to this committee as well, mm-hmm. especially with the recycled water. So at this point, the recycled water fee is on a hold. And the stopping point has been that we don't have a set amount with the Rancho Murrieta Country Club. Mm-hmm. And until there was a set amount or some sort of constraints or guidelines that we have in place with the country club as to how much recycled water they would receive, there's really no starting point to be able to develop that rate because we don't know how much water we would have available. And so it's very difficult.
Right. But the point is, it sounds like the potentially affected ratepayers are involved in the conversation and discussion being kept up to date.
They will be, yes.
That's,
yep.
That's the reason for my comment. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and with the raw water fee rate too, if we change that rate, we have to go through the same Prop 218 process.
Right.
All right. And on the bleach conversion project. We're going from gas to using bleach for disinfection purposes at the wastewater plant. Staff is continuing to do an outstanding job doing the work that we had originally anticipated having contractors do. We've put in chemical feed skids within our chemical feed room. That chemical feed room's been painted with an epoxy paint. So it's looking really good in there. You can see in the photo, if you scroll down a little bit, Amelia, the chemical feed skids look like in place. Mm-hmm. Left to do there's electrical controls and wiring for power, as well as some piping work that needs to be done to tie it in. Scrolling down a little further, you can see we've put in a trench that's ready for the trench boxes that are shown in those photographs that will be installed to route the chemical feed lines throughout the facility. And then scrolling down a little further, they started epoxy painting the tank site areas. And this is a picture from last week. As of today, they've got the entire area painted with the epoxy paint, and we plan on receiving the tanks this Thursday. So we have crane services in place to be able to offload and set those tanks. If you scroll down a little further, Amelia, we've also done some piping tie-ins to show where, not to show, but to have dilution water available for the tanks. So as I've conveyed earlier, you get the bleach. When we get the bleach, we order it in the strongest concentration you can get. So you get the most bang for the buck, and then you dilute it down to a stable amount. Otherwise, it degrades very quickly. So we're creating potable water fills through an air gap system once those tanks are in place. And that's some of the piping work that was done by staff for that.
Paul, this is Les. Later on in the packet, you're discussing a potential replacement of a couple of air compressors that at a different location that have to be replaced early because of chemical fume exposure. So are we, you know, you've shown the epoxy coating and the epoxy protection to a certain grade. Is there anything above that that is subject to advanced corrosion as a result of vapors?
Not in this area. Where the vapors are going to be going, if there were any, and there is, when you fill the tanks, it displaces right. Air. That's going to be routed out towards the wastewater ponds on the opposite sides, and it should not be creating any issues for us. And we're aware and aware of that potential concern.
I figured. I just wanted to make sure that everyone, that you discuss that so that they know you're thinking about it. Thank you.
Yep. And continuing on with the various projects we have going on the West Staff electrical panel replacement. So the contractor was out on site this past week doing site review as it relates to control wiring and conduits for routing of power and controls. And so they're plowing away on that project, and that's got a very tight timeline on it. So they're working diligently on that, on the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans. So I've submitted edits with a lot of updated information back to our consultant, and they're going to be reviewing and updating whatever information I have provided them back to OES for comment. So that's where that's at right now.
Okay.
And then of item of note that I put in this packet is that at the Murrieta Equestrian Center, it came to our attention through the Sacramento Environmental Management Department that an individual there was looking to have a sewer discharge. And we were confused by what was even being asked, because we never heard of the Environmental Management Department getting in contact with us in regards to any entity within the district, let alone at the Equestrian Center. So there was a lot of back and forth and kind of clarifications to what was actually being discussed, because there was confusion. The Equestrian Center had some like food service concessions, which look like fifth wheel trailers that were converted for such a purpose. And we thought that was the place that was being discussed, and that wasn't it. Apparently there's a fixed building called the commissary over there. And this individual's looking to, I guess, rent or lease that commissary as well as a coffee cart. And so that's how this came to our attention. And so we had questions back to the equestrian center just to clarify what sort of sewer connections they have over there. And so we had some back and forth just to make sure that we're on the same page, that, you know, with district standards, all we're looking to do is meet our district standards, apply with those, as well as our sanitary sewer management plan that we have to maintain with the State Water Resources Control Board to show that if there's any fats, oils, and grease impacts to our sewer system, that we're inspecting any services that are related to that. So I've got a meeting scheduled for this Friday with the Equestrian Center, and we'll be doing a site review for that.
Any questions? Is it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday, I believe, actually. I apologize. Yep, Thursday.
Yeah, the commissary, and I'm going to jump in here. The commissary.
Go ahead and identify, John.
Sure. This is John Sullivan. Yeah. The commissary is part of the original bathrooms that were built on the property in the 70s. And the commissary was permitted with a grease trap that was added that's been there for, gosh, I bet it's 30 years. And it's the commissary is storage and prep. And so the grease trap was a requirement when environmental health, whatever the name of the department was way back then. Mm-hmm. And that was installed and it's regularly serviced. And Paul, even though they stored a bunch of records when they moved into the new building, we'll try to get the history on the servicing that's been done by the people who do the service on the grease trap. The new building has a full interceptor for the cafe on it. And just FYI, the two buildings that have been there for the last 25 years, the original feed office and a West Coast Equine Foundation office, have now been removed from the site. So there's two buildings have been removed that had sewer connections in the last 30 days. So we'll be happy to show you all those things on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, John. Any questions on this update item?
Okay. I think that then completes item A3, monthly updates. Is that correct, Paul?
Yep, no further updates.
Okay, if there are no other further comments, then we'll move on to item A4. Discuss Murrieta Marketplace acceptance.
Paul, do you want me to discuss this one?
Yes, Lori.
Okay, this is Lori Loaiza from Coastland. And I think Paul sort of alluded to it in his summary, but Coastland did a punch list last week, and we're still working through a few items, primarily regarding the detention pond, and I think a few things on the grease interceptor, and a few other kind of standard minor things that come up at this stage. So that's the construction end of it. I also believe that we are working through that sign, monument sign, John, that you and Dane are working on. I believe that I talked to Dane last night. He's still working with you on that. I think it's Dane said it was still on his plate, so we'll be getting you a response on that item. And then last but not least.
Okay, Lori?
Yes.
I think there was some confusion, particularly in the press, regarding the sign A versus the sign B versus the sign C.
Uh-huh.
A is the very large one that's installed off of the new entryway.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't in the easement, the CIA, revised CIA easement. B is the one that Dana and I talked about, indemnifying CIA and indemnifying the district in case something happens to the pipe, the 36-inch pipe that runs in the 40-foot easement that runs from the diversion box all the way over behind the fire station. And we provided and sent that language in case something happens to that pipe. We understand that that sign may have to be taken down, removed, damaged, whatever, and that's on Marketplace if that turns out to be the exact location where maintenance needs to be done in the ditch. That siphon and ditch is, Paul, I don't know if the exact depth, but it's probably 12 to 14 feet below the grade there.
Hey, John, I think one of the things I've not seen the foundation plans for that sign, for any of the three signs. So if you had copies of those, that would be helpful as we review that item. And then also, even though I remember that only one did encroach, the other ones were right on the easement line. So, you know, again, seeing how the foundations, particularly since it's a large sign so near the easement, I think it's right on it. That would certainly be helpful.
No, it's not. It's a number of feet away from it. We moved it 5 feet.
I can only go on what I've seen, John. If you had updated plans that show foundations and the location, what I saw showed the sign right on the edge of the easement, but I did not receive any foundation plans or anything that showed, you know, underground how it all looked. So, you know, additional information there, particularly as you work through that agreement, would be helpful.
I'll get Tony from my office to have Pacific Neon send you the foundation plans for all three.
Yeah, because we received the Pacific Neon, the pretty stuff, but nothing structural.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Thank you. Last but not least, I believe that Tom and Cindy have been working on this. Actually, I should clarify, Cindy from John's side, the developer, Moreno, I think her last name was. Apologize if I got that wrong. Regarding fees and the outstanding, which is also necessary for acceptance. I think basically where we stand from here to Marketplace. I know that they had wanted to see CFO soon. I talked to Andrew last night. He wasn't sure of the exact date. John, did you? Is that still kind of in flux?
I didn't hear what you said.
CFO, a certificate of occupancy. I know that's always kind of in flux at the end a little bit, but I was wondering if Braley's had a date set yet?
Well, it depends on environmental health. From their standpoint, they have been told that they are eligible for a temporary COO, and then they get 60 days to complete any items with. But the environmental health and final inspection, they were there this week, and then they come back right close to the 20th, and then the intent, Rayleigh's intent, is to try to open on the 20th. So I'm not sure whether that's done under it's got to have the clearance from environmental health, but sometimes they issue the COO versus a temporary. Right. And that is kind of up in the air, depending on what the finish line looks like. There's a bunch of moving parts, CMID, MMRP, you guys, and the county building inspection. So a lot of moving parts.
Yep.
On
exactly totally makes what, sense.
So, you know, we, you know, as the only item that I was, you know, dealing with directly that was, that we wanted to talk about, if you recall, we discussed the basin, you know, not being conveyed until down the road, and we've, you know, undertaken all the maintenance responsibilities of that in the interim. But I know that the cleanup work they did around the outfall and getting the roadway rocked and all those things, I think they're in effect done. So I think that punch list is down to I think the grease interceptor, and I'm not sure why that hasn't been looked at previously, but it's back behind the truck dock, I believe. So I don't know what the status of that is, if you could help me out with that.
Okay.
When I talked to Andrew yesterday, I know that he was working with Jeff on it. Okay. I don't know that all the items had been completely checked off, but I'd understood that it was all, you know, workable, and that Andrew wasn't saying that any of the grease interceptor items were going to be. He seemed to think that we were working through it with Jeff, but I don't think it's all been checked off and done.
Okay.
I think it's in process.
Well, just, you know, from my standpoint on the basin, you know, we continue to maintain it, and there are still, as everybody probably knows from now looking at that report, there's, you know, lot 4 and 5 construction that's still going to go on through September or October, and then lot 9, which is the Taco Bell site, is going to go on all the way probably through the fall. And I'm not sure exactly when Paul Frank's building starts on lot 10, but that'll probably go into next year. And lot 11, if they don't start by July, they probably won't open until next year. So I just want to make sure that we keep all our SWIFT defenses in place, you know, until those 4 projects are all wrapped up. And that kind of gets us up to about 80% of the commercial parcels done. And that seems like a reasonable point in time where we ought to, you know that the basin is operating properly. I've got pictures that I shared with Andrew on the all the rain events, and water, you know, water doesn't stand in there longer than 12 hours. It's, you know, it's working the way
John,
it's supposed
and
to.
Everybody, this is Paul. Yeah. Just real quick, we're kind of getting into the weeds, so to speak, off the packet. And if you guys want to talk offline, you know, to resolve any items, that would be great.
Okay, I think that's fine, John, because there's some other items we should discuss, probably not separately from this. That's fine. Okay. Well, that was my big kind of over picture item for Marietta Marketplace, was just punch list fees sign. So I don't have anything more to add.
If we could, Paul, maybe we could talk Thursday after our tour and get Lori on the phone if there's anything we need to clear up.
Yeah, if we could schedule a meeting so we have everybody's time accounted for, that'd be great. I'll talk to you after the meeting.
Yeah, and I could be available on Thursday.
Great. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that very much. If there are any other discussion items, discussion on item number 4, discuss Marietta Marketplace acceptance. Hearing none, we can move on to item number five, fiscal year 2021 CIP-CRP review.
Yes, so these items before you are capital projects that I've updated this sheet that we use as a summary. If you could scroll a little up right there. We use this as a summary to convey what existing projects we have and what we're proposing. And you can see under the new section there are the items I have proposed for new projects. These are all within the field operations department, my department. There's none within security or administration this year. And so you can see we've got those items totaled for a $1.65 million of cost estimated. And if you want to go through each item individually, you can scroll down, Amelia. The first project conveyed here is at the Murrieta Village Distribution System. So we want to put this on the books as there's aging infrastructure there. It's one of the oldest sections of the entire district. There's a lot of Schedule 40 PVC water mains there. And for whatever reason of the designers, they ran all of those, not all of those, but quite a few of the mains underneath the units that exist there. And so that's not a good idea, because if one of those happens to go, it's going to cause some damage and subsequent claims. So as I conveyed in that little sketch to the left, just marked up, is to put all the mains into the roadways, and then we'd have to re-tap and tie all the water meters and potable water supplies for all those units back into them. So we don't want to have those things underneath the units, otherwise they can cause problems as shown on the picture on the right, which actually occurred in the village years ago. So any questions on that project?
No question, just comment that we need to make sure that we have adequate funding scheduled for potential other utility conflicts and surface restoration from disturbed surfaces that may extend beyond the trench lines, things like that. So we just have to make sure that we have adequate funding estimates associated with that. And then there is one comment about the environmental regulatory issues, the filing of notice of exemption of public right-of-way. We probably ought to provide a historical status of the public versus private right-of-way, because I wasn't sure that that was public right-of-way. I think it might be privately maintained, private easements.
We have blanket easements over our water, sewer, and drainage distribution systems.
But I guess we can think more in terms of roadways that, or a clarification of what we're talking about from the filing of notice of exemption for public right of way. Okay, that's okay. My concern.
Okay,
just clarification on that item,
Paul. Are you thinking trench paving when you're done, or are we going to end up repaving all these streets from curb to curb, or what are you thinking?
That's to be negotiated with the Murrieta Village. Obviously, we'd like to do trench, but we'd have to see what we can negotiate with the Murrieta Village, and so a big portion of this project would be the engineering of it, and then some of the negotiations that would be involved. We assume this would be a phased project to be brought in, doing sections at a time to limit impacts. So I couldn't really fully comment at this point, but all aspects of the project would have to be looked at as far as a design phase and planning.
I got you. What the existing is Schedule 40 PVC. What are you anticipating putting in the ground?
What we're going to put in, probably C900 pipe. You could put in more expensive pipe called C909. But from what I've researched, it doesn't give you a lot more life as long as you have good trenches in place. So we anticipate just putting C900, which is a typical water pipe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the comments just wrap up to making sure that we have adequate consideration for all the aspects as we move forward in order to define the project budget.
So this is Tom Hennig. I just want to be clear. We do have the funds that Paul's requesting in our reserves right now. They will be greatly reduced during if all these projects go through. And later on today, we're going to talk about a little bit further about a reserve study that's been requested by the board to be done next year. And a reminder that the number one priority of the board as determined under their goal setting a few months back was a healthy reserve program. So as we look at these and think about where's all the money coming from, it's coming from money that we have set aside for this type of work, but it's very concerning that we make sure that we have our future in mind too. And that's why the reserve study is such an important aspect of next year's budget. That's all.
And that, well, and that, Tom, that's a very, very important item to be discussed in the subsequent meetings, to making sure that the reserves are there and adequate and properly scheduled. And so it's extremely important and for everyone to be thinking about that. From the standpoint of defining laying out the proposed process and the procedures for developing that capital replacement, capital improvement program that drives the reserve needs. So if there was if we had a summary of the process in bullet point items for developing the CRP, CIP, projects list, identifying the estimated costs that then roll up into the reserve study. I think that's important. Thank you.
All right. Continuing on with the next project, there is the same thing that's occurring at the wastewater plant would then occur at the water treatment plant, which is to remove chlorine gas and go to bleach for disinfection purposes. So it's the same thing, just at the water plant. A little more work needs to be done at the water plant due to where the tank locations would be sited. And then this was budgeted for in the Coastlands Capital Improvement Fee Study Project. And so we utilized that budgetary figure from that. And I noted it was a 2017 figure. Any questions on that?
No, the only thing, just a sub note on that, the CRP CIP program, the plan, should consider inflationary increases at a determined period of time, whether it's yearly or, you know, whatever that might be. So the plan, the developing the plan and then implementing the plan and updating the plan is important, including potential inflationary adjustments.
Yes, and I believe it cites using the Engineering News Record Index for that.
Yeah, I understand. I think that's great. I just want to make sure that everyone understands, considers the what's necessary for implementation of the plan. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the next project is the Rio Oso Pump Station generator replacement. So the Rio Oso Pump Station is in continuous operation to supply water to units 3-4 and units 3B in the north. And so if we had a power loss, which as everyone's aware, we frequently do out here in Rancho Murrieta, this would come on immediately to continue to run the pumps and supply the system with water. The unfortunate issue here in California with our strict air quality regulations is that the we need to phase out old generators. This is listed as a tier zero, which is the worst type of generator as far as air quality is concerned. We're looking at potentially going to, as of this packet, I noted a tier four. Apparently, it's very difficult to find what's referred to as a tier four diesel generator. There are tier threes available. I won't get into the details of Sacramento air quality. It's very confusing. But we're also looking at propane generators as well. So at this point, we've got this estimated amount, which is verbal, based on feedback from Cummins West. But that's just a budgetary estimate. Any questions on that?
None here.
Okay. And at the Rio Oso pump station, continuing on that site, there's what's referred to as a variable frequency drive panel. So those pumps that are in continuous operation, they get feedback off of a control loop from a pressure transmitter that is looking at the pressure in the system and maintaining that. So depending if somebody's, you know, there's sprinklers open up or fire hydrant opens up, et cetera, pressure drops, that speeds the pumps up, et cetera. And so that runs the facility, and that's been in operation for quite a long time. And it's a concern of myself and my staff that there's going to be a failure there. We want to be able to proactively replace these. Because if there is a failure there, you basically have to have staff living on site to function as that variable control. And that just really wouldn't work optimally. So that's why this project's on the books, to update and replace those variable frequency drives and any appurtenances that are related to it. And the estimated cost right now, which is just a plug, unfortunately, I do not have a solid budgetary quote for that. This is a plug number as of now. Any questions on that?
None.
All right, continuing on. As you alluded to earlier with chemical vapor damage, these water plant compressors, even though the water plant project was done only a few years ago, back in 2015 when these were installed, they've already got some substantial damage on them. So in anticipation of having to replace these very soon, we want to put this project on the books to be prepared to replace them. The issue was faulty design of having these compressors within the same room as several chemical tanks and feed systems. And so the off-gassing of vapors within this room has caused corrosion damage to these systems. We're in the process of rectifying that by trying to possibly vent the intakes to these systems from outside the wall, as well as, when I say outside the wall, outside the building, to get fresher air, as well as to separate and build the wall from the chemical tank areas and relocate one of the chemical tanks from that. So that won't happen again in the future. Again, this is an estimate from a vendor, and that's, we want to put it on the books. So if it fails, we're ready to replace it.
Paul, is this an HDR issue?
HDR did the design on that. There was a lot of concerns with their design. Their contract language protected them, and so we have no recourse, unfortunately. That was already looked at years ago with other items.
But a lesson learned.
Yes, absolutely. And then continuing on, we're looking at replacing a substantial amount of water meters throughout the system. You know, it was referred to me way back when, and I like this analogy that the water meters are the cash registers of the water system. Essentially, they come in functioning at around 100%. Then over time, anything that has moving parts within it tends to degrade and not record as accurately as they normally would until they completely fail. Our metering system lets us know when they completely fail. It doesn't let us know when they're only working at a limited percent of their capability. And so a project we want to do is replace 275 meters. That amount wasn't randomly taken. That was taken off of a metering list we have with old serial numbers. And we'd look to replace those meters in the older sections of the district that have these old meters in them and update them with these new meters that have a complete flow through system. They provide better flow and pressure, which is good for the customer, and it has no moving parts in it. And these meters are actually, even though they're made out of a polymer, they have stronger breaking pressures than the brass meters. So they're pretty robust. And they also, within their systems, have some onboard data storage information. So you can download about a month's worth of data off of them if you ever needed to. So it's a good update. And as noted in the packet, they have a 10-year full rated warranty and then a 10-year prorated warranty.
Paul, this is Tom. These are going to be those meters that at some point in time we could read them on a regular basis with a Wi-Fi system of sort, right?
These meters could, yeah. Actually, both meters could. It depends on the MXU that's connected to them.
Okay.
And currently, those meters you can actually connect via a laptop and pull data from the meter.
But if the district were to decide somewhere in the future to set up some large antennas that can read the meters automatically without driving around, these are compatible with that system, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And there's a difference there between being compatible and being active, right? So there would be additional infrastructure necessary to remotely monitor these meters. Is that correct?
If you wanted to remotely do that, and I did a substantial research project on that years ago with Census, and Tom has recently also looked at it again. And there's a lot of capital investment to do so, as well as ongoing maintenance costs and radio frequency licensing costs that are required.
Okay, and I just wanted to make sure that was part of the discussion, because it would be something that would have to be studied as an adjunct to this CIP project you're proposing.
Just in the summary of my research years ago, the cost viability of it versus our staff driving around to get the meters, it's hard-pressed to find the payback on it.
At this time, right.
At this time. Yeah. Okay.
And there are a number of larger water districts in the midst of deploying that technology. And in 2 or 3 or 5 years, the economies of scale will probably be such that it becomes more reasonable. But it's just good that Paul's putting in the meters now.
Yeah.
Because when we looked at this project as a whole, meter replacement was the greatest cost. The ongoing cost of the frequencies and the maintenance of the wireless system and the towers were significant, but the greatest cost to the district was the fact that most of our meters would have to be replaced. So this is a good step in the right direction.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions on comments on that item? Moving forward then, Paul.
All right. Paul?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I was just curious, when you do the replacing the water system in the village, will that involve installing new meters or even put in the old meters?
Richard, if you could just identify yourself.
Yes, this is Richard Gears, John Q. Public.
Potentially. So if there aren't, you know, meters that have already been replaced with these newer style meters, then they would get replaced.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then No other further staff or public comment. Moving on then to your next item, Paul, which is
To pull water from the Cosumnes River for our water supply. We have an intake structure and intake piping and screening, which we refer to as the Granley's diversion intake. And this would be to replace potentially failing components there so that, you know, we prevent any future downtime if something did fail in the future. We want to do the maintenance on our time versus when something completely fails. And you can see from the picture there, you know, it's pretty rusty looking. The screens that are drawing the water are stainless steel, so they're in pretty good condition, but we'd have to see if there's been any damage over the years since these have been in operation. You know, we've had quite a bit of flooding, you know, over the years, and you get debris and whatnot flowing through that system. So we want to get down there, inspect it, replace any rusting components, and just make sure it's good to go for another 10, 20 years at least.
All right. Again, you know, just to underscore Paul's comment about that we want to do the maintenance, you know, on our schedule versus an emergency. And the worst thing that could possibly happen is one of those things failed during our at the beginning of our pumping season.
Exactly. We would hate to delay being able to draw water into our storage reservoirs.
Mm-hmm. Which could be a significant problem. All right. Any questions, comments on that one? Mm-hmm. Moving on.
So like the Rioso generator, the main lift north sewer pump station generator, we look at replacing a generator there. That's also a tier zero generator. One thing that's a little different there is the power from this generator also supplies station 59, the fire station adjacent to the main lift north station. There's an agreement between the district and the Sac Metro Fire Department in regards to that. So there'd need to be some coordination in regards to that. And I got this budgetary estimate from Cummins West, a local vendor, for replacement with a tier three diesel engine. However, it could be propane. You just have to update the fuel system there and have a propane tank on site. And sizing would be dependent on the amount of runtime you'd want to have available for the facility. So this is, again, putting the project on the books that we have to replace this generator at some point.
Paul, this is Les Clark. I just have a question in general. You have a line item, environmental or regulatory issues. Do we have any MMRP requirements regarding sound attenuation from these generators?
No, nothing specific that I've ever encountered as it relates to that.
Just something to keep on the radar.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul. And again, you know, just to underscore, I'd like the district to consider outlining the full process of developing the reserve study from a formal process of updating and maintaining the CIP-CRP full program for the district as a whole. So if we can have an outline of that process, the thought process, that'd be great going forward.
Absolutely. And this is a step towards that.
Yes.
So I'm continuing to work on that as a project.
I understood that. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that you're working on that.
Okay.
And just and have an outline of the process so that you know, others can participate in it. Okay, if there are no other staff comments, questions on that item, A5, we'll move on to item A6,
So Lori, if you can give an update.
Regarding the pedestrian bridge, are still working with the surveyor on that. And Mark, I will have actual numbers for you. I apologize. As I said, I think last month this item has kind of slipped a bit, but I've been working with the surveyor to get a couple of numbers pulled together for costs, and I'll be getting that to you shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other staff comments, questions, public comment? Okay, hearing none, moving on to item 7, Groundwater Sustainability Agency update.
So this has been a long-standing item that's been discussed at a number of committee meetings and board meetings. It has to do with who would be identified as the Groundwater Sustainability Agency for the area that's within the portion of the district that's within the South American sub-basin. And this is all related to groundwater. And so that is an area generally north of the Cosunas River, and then west of about, if you were to run from the Yellow Bridge north, and then west of that area, a line west of that, is generally the area that of the district itself that falls within the South American sub-basin. We have Slough House Resource Conservation District has asked to initially assume the entire area in the South American sub-basin. We, as a district, did not wish that to occur as feedback. And then there was a request, a last minute request, to have the Slough House Resource Conservation District serve as GSA over the ag portions of the district. And again, that was from the district's feedback. The feedback that we provided was that we did not have an interest to have Slough House oversee that area. It's about 192 acres, a little bit more if you include the area that's just south of the airport itself, between the airport and the river. However, the reason why it's important, as I see it, to maintain one GSA, and the proposal is to put it under the SCGA, which is the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority, is that the prime sites that have been identified for potential wells, even though the district is not currently pursuing a well, is right within that ag area. And so I feel it's important that the South American sub-basin portion of the district fall under one GSA. If you think about it, we're still going to be subject to another GSA. The Slough House Resource Conservation District is part of the Cosumnes groundwater basin, and we're going to have reporting required to them. If we then split our GSA for the South American sub-basin, we could potentially have three different flavors of reporting required. So I think it makes a lot of sense administratively and functionally to have that area of the district that falls within the South American basin under one GSA, and the recommendation is for to remain with the South Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority, of which we sit as a board member. They have requested, and so I had discussions with John Lowry of the Water Forum, who is helping to negotiate the MOU of GSA boundaries for the South American sub-basin, and a request came last week for us to confirm officially, have our board confirm its stance on this. The MOU as written is proceeding, but it has a blanket language that says the RMCSD, that the MOU will conform to whatever the RMCSD prefers as far as governance, GSA governance for that area of the South American sub-basin that's within the district. But they'd like some official confirmation. It's always been a verbal update, discussion, et cetera, but nothing really official. This is just to let you know that this is going to come forward as part of the board, as a board discussion and approval item. I don't know the exact form yet. I'm going to get with Dick on that as far as, is it going to be a resolution or just a verbal okay, a verbal statement. So the ultimate form will be figured out before the meeting. But I just want to give you a heads up that that's going to go forward for at least a more official board approval, May 20th.
When is it that the people who own the property are going to be conferred with?
It's not a it's a general governance issue, John. It's not a property by property matter. So.
And there was some subsequent information provided for the packet that provides the report from January's staff report to the board. And that was included in the as a supplementary to the packet. And when this comes forward to the board, Mark, if we could have an explicit map that outlined the area that we're talking about that is within the district. The maps that were provided in January show the overall picture, but there's some lack some specificity as to those areas that are within the district.
Correct.
I.e., you know, the district boundary is Slough House.
Correct. John, or Les, we worked with the Water Forum to prepare a graphic specific to exactly what you're asking, and it has okay. been prepared, and that will be included.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Just want to make sure that everyone understands that, and then if there could be some clarification from the standpoint of the district's boundaries for the American basin south of the Cosumnes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a separate issue. That's not part of this particular, you know, proposal, not proposal, but election, right? So that the area south of the river, the groundwater authority that would be associated with that is identified as a separate issue.
Got it.
That's just for clarification, so to make sure everyone understands that, the sure. district is aware of that.
We have a hand-drawn graphic that reflects that already, so we'll include that.
Yeah. That would include some of the items that that were included in Paul's development plan map.
All right.
Okay. All right. Are there any other staff comments, public comments on that item? Hearing none, moving on to item A8, Residence East and the 670 FSA update.
Well, this is a very brief update. We continue to work with our district legal counsel. We're going to have our fourth conference on this week. As far as the obligations of landowners within the 670 FSA for the water treatment plant update, related to the Van Vleck spray field obligations and the funding of that. And there's an exhibit H2 that's within the 670 FSA documents, page 88, which discusses what the obligations are. However, it says it's for illustrative purposes only. And so that is being worked on by EPS, who we've hired as the fund manager. They are communicating with Camillo's, who, according to my understanding from Ed Krause, was the financial transactions conducted for the purchase of that spray field easement were conducted outside of the CSD through private negotiations. And so there is no way internally for us to verify the financials behind that. So since that exhibit H2 shows that it's for illustrative purposes only, it's very hard for us to hang our hats on the numbers that are seen there. What's of concern is there are overpayments, especially for residences east, and I believe a few other properties show overpayments for their share, which is a little odd, but it's something that we need to confirm the actual financials before we can give a final number to any of the landowners as to what their obligation would be for the Van Vleck spray field portion. They have communicated with Camillo's and did not receive any feedback, and so they have re-upped their communication to and with through calls and emails and other ways to see if we can get a meeting with him on the topic. That's it.
Well, I hate to insert myself again in another matter here, but the only thing that's for illustrative purposes in that exhibit, from my perspective, is the fact that nobody knew what the water treatment plant expenses were going to be. The amount for the 670 FSA, $3,048,000, is a bona fide number that went into both sets of documents, the FSA and the 670 FSA, and the amount that each party contributed was agreed to and acknowledged in the final exhibits that were put into both the agreements.
John, are you speaking to the water treatment plant expansion?
Yeah.
I'm speaking to the Van Vleck spray field purchase.
No, yes, and that's all in there. In the FSA is the spray field funding, the $3,048,000, and who contributed what and who owes what, that's subject to the ENR adjustments.
And it says
The thing that's not defined, the thing that's for illustrative purposes, is because the FSA, the 670 FSA, is a reimbursement document, they didn't have any way to know what the water treatment plant costs were in that schedule. And I can go through that with you on Thursday.
We're separating out. There's the Van Vleck, which is recycled water disposal. And then there's the water treatment plant expansion. And those really are, I mean, they're within the same document, but they're two issues that we need to clarify. So, yeah, I'd recommend.
Well, the 670 FSA as to the spray field, Van Vleck spray field, is well settled as to the numbers.
And we need the documentation of those numbers, since that was done externally to the district. If we're going to be held to account for that,
it's in our FSA that was executed by the district.
So, okay. Yeah, it sounds like that
offline, John. So that's
More discussion, more detailed discussion is scheduled and necessary and appropriate to make sure that everyone is full understanding of the history needed compliance.
Correct.
Mark, when you say the fourth conference, who is included in these conferences?
Dick Shanahan and Andrew Ramos of our legal counsel, district legal counsel. Andrew Ramos is working on that specifically. We're not injecting outside.
So it's just three of you. Is there any other staff at these?
Right now, this is a very complex thing. So it's to bring somebody in at this point. Once we have more resolution on this, then this will definitely be shared with staff and explained. The answer is no to your question, but the purpose behind that.
Okay, well, it's important to make sure that these things are resolved and the record substantiated as quickly as possible because of future changes. So it's important to get it down right and make sure that we're able to convey the needed funding, all right, and the agreed upon funding for any future changes that are being proposed with Residence East and the 670 FSA. Are there any other comments, questions? Moving in on then to item
nine,
director, staff, and comments, suggestions. Staff first.
No any comments. Staff?
Okay. Director comments? I have none. Randy?
None.
All right. Then I will entertain a motion for adjournment of the Improvements Committee, RMCSD.
Move to adjourn.
And I will second. We stand adjourned. Thank you very much, staff. We appreciate all your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.